You're listening to The Ocho Man Behind the 8 Ball, only on Ignotainment. Without further ado, the one, the only, Ocho Man.
Hey, 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 my friends. It's January 21st, 2015. I got a special guest here today, Armand. My man, Armand Kachigan. I tell you what, I love this guy.
Well, thank you. I love you, too.
I got my man here, my production guy. He's always here for me, does the job like you guys wouldn't believe. He's our guy here, Chris.
How we doing?
Doing good, Chris. Hey, Armand, tell us about what you've been up to, man. You're my old-time buddy. I thought I'd get you on the show. Tell us what you've been up to.
Well, doing a little screenwriting. We have a movie in the works.
Which movie is that?
It's called Men of Granite. Going to shoot it right here in the St. Louis area.
Right.
Due to begin shooting in March. Got a pretty good cast. We already have William Hurt signed on and Shirley MacLaine and... looks like we might even have Patrick Schwarzenegger, Arnold's son.
Wow. Yeah, you said there's a part for me in this, right?
Well, yeah, you're the lead.
Fuck bullshit. I'm the lead.
Yes, they're all just supporting.
Yeah, I'll probably be the guy running in and out, 10-second clip or whatever. I'm trying to be like the uncle in this show or something, in this movie. I'm trying to be something like that, you know?
Well, there are some parent. I mean, it's a high school flick, you know, about high school basketball. And, well, unfortunately, both of us are probably too old to play anything.
Speak for yourself. I could still hold.
We could do some grandfather parts, though.
Yeah, great. All right, fuck that. I don't want to talk about that. Hey, you been catching up on this deflated ball bullshit that's been happening with the Patriots?
Yeah, I'm kind of fascinated by that. I don't understand quite what the advantage is.
Here's my thinking here. Here's where I'm just mystified from all this. Now, the ball boy gives this fucking ball to the umpire. The umpire wipes down the ball, puts the ball down. Doesn't the umpire say, something a little sketchy about this fucking ball?
Yeah, you would think that because they're underinflated, correct?
Yeah.
So you would think he would, because I see them, they squeeze it kind of.
You always see the umpire rubbing down the ball, cleaning it, and then setting it down for the center. So how the hell is this? Okay, if the Patriots try to pull something off, dude, they had a running back that ran over 150 yards. You could have given him, like I said on my last show, a goddamn shot put, and he would have still run 130 yards.
Yeah, those holes were like four-lane highways he was running through, so I don't see the advantage. But
I don't understand it. They're always out for conspiracy. They're always out for – speaking of conspiracy.
Are we?
Yeah, speaking of conspiracy. We'll get back to that Patriot book.
Yes, please do.
I went to watch that movie, American Sniper.
Yeah, good movie.
Great fucking movie, man. And you know what? I'm reading reviews on this shit, and everyone's like, not everyone. I don't want to say everyone, because I'm telling you right now, the guy's a hero in my book. And you've got a guy writing in saying he's a scum. One guy said he's a villain. The LA Times came out, hero or villain. Did they ever come up with this shit when John Wayne was killing Japanese?
Well, you know, actually, there was some controversy and... we won't drag politics into it, but, you know, the fact that John Wayne didn't serve, he was called a coward by a lot of people, but from what I've gathered, he tried to get into the Army, and they wouldn't let him in.
Well, okay, but how was John Wayne perceived in the movies, though, on the cinema? As a hero.
Of course. And he wasn't even portraying real-life characters. This guy, I mean, was a true-to-life...
A true guy.
Yeah, nobody wrote this... It was based on actual events, and I don't, from what I gather, they're pretty close to accurate. I've heard the author of the book. I've heard the screenwriter, and the portrayal was pretty accurate.
That's crazy if you say that, because when I was watching, I'm going, wow. I mean, the guy wasn't having fun doing this either. Like these guys calling him scum and a murderer.
A coward. I think the actual, well, you want to mention who said this?
Yeah, please.
Well, it was Michael Moore. Called him, apparently he had a relative, an uncle or someone that was killed in World War II by a sniper. And his assertion is that snipers are cowards inherently because they take a concealed position and shoot people more or less from protected area.
I was watching a movie, Armand, and I'm telling you, he saved so many American lives by taking out people that had all sorts of weapons. Mm-hmm. They had RPGs, I think, shit like that. I mean, they had stuff that was really going to rip our forces.
Sure.
People down in half. And even in the movie, you see he's at a oil change, and this guy comes up to him and goes, you know what? You carried me out of a war.
Saved his life, yeah.
In a battle. Mm-hmm. And I was wounded, and you carried me out of there. And then he salutes him, and the guy's like, you know what? Don't
yeah,
salute
he's a humble
me.
Kind
he's
of
a
character.
Humble guy.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, and he didn't deserve what happened to him. He was helping out other Marines, et cetera. And, you know, to call this guy a coward or whatever, or worse, I don't know what he called him. But
they even put a billboard up in L.A., and some guy went up there with a spray paint and put murderer. That's unbelievable, man. And we've lost touch with society. We've lost it really pisses me off now how we look at these men. And on the other side, too, the government. They send them out there, and then when they come back, they're a little messed up in the head, and we don't seem to give a shit.
They got this VA scandal, you know, where they're actually making fake appointments, et cetera, and trying to keep these guys from actually seeing
narcotics.
Doctors.
They just give them narcotics. They just give them a bunch of drugs. They go off. You know, it's crazy, and that's a whole different show. But I'm telling you right now, that guy was a kick-ass guy and a hero in my book, and I strongly...
But I'll tell you what, all that calumny he's receiving from these people, I think it's counterproductive because most people are going to say... infinite majority is in support of this guy and what he did. And no matter what you think of the war itself, whether we should have invaded, et cetera, if there were weapons of mass destruction, these guys went over there, they laid their lives on the line, they left their families...
I totally
you
got to
give him respect. I mean, there's no way you call this guy a coward.
No. There's definitely. I'm totally with you 100%. And what gets me is it's just not a Joe or Bob right down the block. This is from L.A. Times coming out with an article saying a hero or a villain. Why even give that type of questioning? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. You address it as this is a movie. It's what we had to go through. We believe it or not, folks, we got snipers. We do have snipers in our...
Sure, so do they.
Yeah, so do they. And in that movie, they did have a sniper.
Of course,
that
was
too.
The main conflict of the movie was him against that expert Olympian athlete sniper from the other side. I mean,
it was a real good movie. If if you folks get out, check
hopefully
it out.
This controversy will make more people go see it.
Yeah.
No, that's all it does. Yeah. So that's good. In a way.
And another thing, switching topics again, let's go back to football action here.
Oh, okay.
Well, not the NFL, though. Not the NFL, though, Chris. This is some...
Michigan fight song or something? Are we going to college football?
We're going to college football, and this is about a recruit, okay?
Oh, okay.
His name's Tim Irvin. He commits to Texas... And
is this a high school senior?
Yeah, this high school senior. He commits to Texas and puts the Texas hat on. He can't wait to
gets
go.
Gets the jersey,
Texas.
I'm sure.
Whatever. He's got
there's
the
always
hat
a ceremony.
On. He's
with
from Miami. Okay.
Ah, that explains a lot.
Does it?
Yeah, I used to live in Miami. Okay.
Okay. Well,
it's a different breed down there.
Yeah. He has a date with Auburn on the 13th to go to. Just to visit Auburn,
like
too. I don't know.
Recruiting visit?
Yeah.
But after he's already committed.
Right. And I don't even know why he's going there, but he's going there. 13 days later, January 3rd, he commits to Texas. 13 days later, he visits Auburn now.
Very appropriate. Boy, he's right on it.
Oh, Chris is the man. January 18th, all of a sudden, he commits to Auburn and says, screw you, Texas. And you're thinking, what the hell just went down in Auburn? He either got late or some cash.
Yeah, I can think of a lot of explanations.
he got the cash, Chris. And I'll tell you, he puts out on social media, this is how dumb this kid is. He puts a quote-unquote, want to thank my aunt and my others who gave me my graduation gift. Ha! That's straight up cash, homie. And he's holding a stack of cash. And these are brand new bills, man. And they don't show his face or anything, but there's a stack of cash that's unbelievable. And
was this on Facebook or Twitter or some kind of social media?
I'm not sure what it was on, but it was on a sports site. And they had this Tim Irvin cash that he had. And it was 2 days later than he signs the Auburn. Seeing all that cash.
So this was a gift from Aunt Polly.
Yeah, his aunt down in Miami.
Oh, okay. Well, I believe that.
Yeah, I do too. But it's amazing all the shit that goes down in recruiting. And just to keep everything in balance here, they're offering these guys all this cash. And you're wondering, why didn't my team get that guy? Well, we don't have the cash for that kid.
Well, sure. But, I mean, I think you agree with me on that. Why don't they just pay these guys?
I do. I think we should pay him.
Of course.
It'll end all this bullshit.
It's a joke.
You know, they may not be running off with crab legs then out of a grocery store, too. So, yeah, I agree with you. There should be some payment. And
well, it's more hypocrisy. You know, I mean, that's...
So you're thinking...
Is that the hypocrisy hit there? It's interesting sound effect.
Well, the sound effect right there is saying that they're going to have less criminals then.
Oh, is that what that was meant to do, Chris?
I think that's
what
it was.
Very appropriate then. I didn't. That was too subtle for me.
And speaking of sirens,
yeah, that was specifically related to Jameis Winston and his crab leg stealing incident.
You know what though? He forgot to pay.
Oh, is that
exactly,
what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, he just, my mind went blank.
Oh, sure.
The guy can remember 300 plays in a playbook from Greg Brady's book there, but he can't remember.
He forgot to pay for his crab legs.
Yeah, he just walked out. Speaking of sirens, though.
Well, seafood does tend to have a kind of effect on the brain that dulls the senses a little bit.
Well, he might have had, but you
might
know.
Might have been a gouty attack.
No, whatever the deal is, but the guy, I'm believing him.
The roofie of the sea, I think, is what they call it.
I've walked off with crab legs before.
It's the roofie of the sea.
I've taken home women, you know, put a little crab leg juice in their drink, and it's very effective.
Knock them out, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
something,
good to know.
Something for your listeners to take home.
Yes.
Very informative show today.
Write that down, folks. Crab leg juice.
The shell.
The shell will knock the chicks out. Greg Anthony of CBS NCAA basketball doing the Michigan State-Maryland game. Mm-hmm. Well, he did something else too that night. He kind of called a hooker. Right wing.
Understandable.
Yeah, well, whatever. But he's a right wing guy.
When you say right wing, because is that the undertone to me was that is he religious, kind of a religious guy?
Very religious.
Politically right wing.
Religious right wing. He does everything by the book. You know, how many people we see like this? Give me some names right now.
Well, Jimmy Swaggart.
He's the guy that cried on TV. Uh-huh. I have sinned in my heart. Let's forgive him.
Right. I think Falwell had his issues. Falwell's had his issues.
Where he calls everybody the devil. And then we had Baker, didn't we? The one that was
He had a scandal, too.
Yeah.
It's common.
But in any case, he was supposed to hook up with this chick at Doubletree.
Well, that's tasteful.
It's appalling. It really is appalling to me. And because if you're going to call a hooker, that's the wrong place to go. You got to go to a massage parlor. That's what I'm talking
about.
Can
we bring up stories from our past?
No.
Okay, all right. That's inappropriate. Well,
yeah.
This was 92, as I recall. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know anything that you're talking about right now. It wasn't me, you prick.
You've learned well
I wasn't listening.
We have that siren again?
yeah, they may have. Well, that's an ambulance siren. Getting me the hell out of
here. Well, you have a little amnesia, maybe.
Oh, fuck.
Could be some head trauma.
All right.
Amnesia from the roofie of the sea.
Too much crab leg juice for you fuckers.
You've been chewing those shells again. Yeah. So what's your point? Just the basic hypocrisy of this again?
Yes. You sit there, you bitch about people, but then you go off and screw the pooch. You try to screw the pooch.
Yeah.
It's not one time that he's done this. Oh, hey.
Oh, it's not?
Obviously not. I don't think so.
It's probably his first time.
He knew what the hell he was doing.
It must be, because, I mean, the first time you take him to the double tree, but as you get more acclimated and realize what it's all about, you start, you don't take them to Doubletree anymore.
Yeah, you go to the Hilton, and then, you know, the next step is the Ritz, and then who knows, you know, maybe out of town.
Yeah, you can't beat Motel 6.
I can get cheaper than that, actually. Travelodge.
Because they leave the light on for you.
who wants the light on?
Yeah. Well, that's a good call. Who does want that light on?
No, not with the caliber of hooker we're talking about.
Yes. Swing. Oh, Jesus. All right, moving on here. I think I walked into the wrong thing with Greg
Anthony.
Well,
since you brought it up, though, I think we should get my opinion.
Let's say you're fucking paying without bringing me into this.
It's not the act itself that actually causes me consternation and
Chris, look that word up and let me know what the fuck he just said.
And great discomfort. My disquietude comes from his hypocrisy again. I mean,
Jesus Christ, man. Can't you use fucking the pop-up book words for me?
I think it's not a problem that he fucked her brains out.
Oh, there we go.
It's just that don't tell everybody else how to live their lives. That's all.
Exactly.
Don't preach to people and be a hypocrite.
Exactly. You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
That's
he has
right.
an effect for every occasion, doesn't he?
Oh, he's got it all here. That's why I love the guy.
So I guess we've cast enough light on
Yeah, we'll still stay with basketball here. And Georgetown fans. God, I've never seen such rejoicing Georgetown fans. They beat Villanova at home, okay? Georgetown does. Just roll with me on this, okay?
Yeah.
How big is a Georgetown program? It's always traditionally been tough, hasn't it? I mean, when you've talked basketball, NCAA, you've always heard Georgetown.
Perennial power, yeah.
Well, the fans thought beating Villanova, which was number 4 in the nation, they should storm the court. Okay.
Yeah, don't they cut down the nets and all that? Same as akin
it's
to
fucking
pulling
January.
Down the goalposts.
It's January,
right. No net cutting.
You don't need any of that. Plus, another thing, Georgetown always beats Villanova. I mean, it's traditional. It's nothing big. And then you got John Thompson and his son. Is he still the coach? His son is now the coach,
okay.
Which is named Thompson, too.
Oh.
John Thompson.
Junior,
yeah. And they're looking at each other like, what the fuck are these idiots doing?
Well, what were they doing?
We beat a Villanova team, for love of God. You don't run out on the court.
Oh, they storm
and
the court.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's not a you don't see a Duke doing something like that.
So you don't think it's a classy?
No, it's not.
You don't ascribe it maybe to the adrenaline of the moment.
Well, these are the fans that are younger fans that haven't seen vintage Georgetown throughout the years, 10 years, 20 years, and so forth. These are young idiots that just wanted to run on the court and just celebrate. But you know what? It's a kind of spit on the entire Georgetown program because, you know what? You shouldn't get off on that. You should not get off on a win over Villanova. Granted, Villanova was number 4 in the nation. But again, you are Georgetown, man. You just take it like we do this every time.
So you think they should more, because they're such a power and they have been for so long, they should take that in stride and almost as if they expected to beat these guys.
Wouldn't you be like that?
But I'm a very classy guy.
Let's say this. You've wrestled. I mean, you used to be a wrestler.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yes.
Not that kind of. No, that's.
But you did.
I was usually thrown on my back and pinned, but
But when you did win, well, in your case, the problem would always run out.
That problem never came up, actually, so.
All right, but I'm just, you know what the hell I'm saying. Yeah, I hope you know what the hell I'm saying.
Well, I mean, but here again, let's talk about, since we're talking about that, I mean, all this celebration, and I think that just pervades athletics anymore, you know, they get a sack. Even when they're losing, a team that's losing by 3 or 4 touchdowns, they get a sack, they do a dance.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is an underlying issue in sports that's, you know, it's just been exploding in the last you know, 8 or 9 years or maybe even more. I mean, it seems like anything that anyone does,
well,
whether it's good,
it's
bad, defense, offense, there's a gigantic celebration around it. Mm-hmm. And it was never like that before.
I'm telling you, I seen something this year. It may have happened like maybe a month ago, a month and a half ago. You got these Raider guys celebrating a sack. And they're already running a play like 15 yards down, and they get a penalty because these guys are doing their dance and shit like that. While there's a play being, they don't even give a shit about that play. They're still doing their dance.
Well, I think the most flagrant in this play will live in infamy was the guy. I don't remember what school he was playing against. They were playing against Oregon. This was remember he was running for a touchdown. I think it's an interception, and he was running for a touchdown. And all the way in the clear, and he dropped the ball, but he wasn't in the end zone yet.
You know what? They're doing this shit all the time now. In the NFL, you've seen it a couple times. I don't know what it is with.
Well, as they're celebrating in the end zone, the other team picks up the ball and runs it back for a touchdown. Did you see that play?
I don't doubt that at all. I've seen that like 3-4 times now, and this is becoming an epidemic, my friend. It's becoming
right,
crazy.
Well, do you have have some sort of solution to these?
Here, my solution is this. You get back in the fucking huddle. If we're up by a shitload, show some respect to the other team.
Well, I agree.
You see this guy. You see this coach who beat this fucking – it's a girls' basketball. They won 162-2.
Ooh. Wow.
Now, I got two versions of
this. That's a drubbing, yeah.
It's an ass-kicking and a half. I would have started the bus and left at halftime. But here's the thing about it that I just don't understand. What is this fucking coach going to do? I mean, he's
Which
already
coach?
The guy that's scoring all the points. Oh. What's he supposed to do?
I guess tell your players to...
Not to score?
Take it easy, maybe.
Take it easy? Okay, I've taken Chris out. I've taken Armand out. Now I got little Cindy in. Now Cindy keeps scoring.
Well,
I take her out.
Right,
I put little Debbie in. Well, little Debbie. I love little Debbie. But in any case, I keep bringing all these chicks
effect,
in here.
Please. Chewing.
Well, isn't that special?
That's a good one.
I keep bringing in all these girls, and they still keep scoring.
Yeah, but I think that's...
Where's the...
Well, see, now, and here I think is the error of a coach that does that. Because if he's going to bring in the third and fourth string, they want to show off. They're going to try even harder. I think you leave your first string in and say, listen, the game's in the bag. Take it easy. Wouldn't you say it?
I would say so, but even if the other teams only scored 2 fucking points. Mm. I mean, what can you do?
Speaking of that, do you know the biggest, most lopsided victory in college football?
Oh, wow. Chris, let's look this shit up here.
You don't have to. I'll tell you.
Wow.
It was Georgia Tech against Cumberland College. 222-0, I believe.
Yeah.
220-0.
Yeah, and I have a friend that wrote a screenplay about that game. What's interesting is Cumberland College was like a dental school.
What the fuck are they doing playing Georgia?
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
it was 1916.
But what happened in the spring of that year, Cumberland College's baseball team actually beat Georgia Tech. Much to, yes, and you could tell Georgia Tech wanted to get even.
Oh, they got even.
Oh, 222-0.
They raped the whole town and they didn't even leave any dentures there.
I don't think there was any fillings left by time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they drilled them.
They drilled them.
The guy who dropped the ball before the end zone in that Oregon, mm-hmm. it was Utah versus Oregon.
That's right. Yeah. And they would have been up 14-0 and had a pretty – not that they would have won, but it would have been a commanding lead. Instead, it was 7-7 because he dropped the ball.
Wait a minute. I'm still trying to get over this 220-0.
Cumberland College.
What the fuck's that averaging per quarter?
Well, let's see. About 56 points a quarter almost.
56 fucking – they didn't do anything wrong.
No, they scored every time they touched the ball.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, 164-2 – you can go down
these
the field.
These are Division I teams? These are Division I?
No, these are high school.
Oh, high school teams. Oh,
this is a high school. This is a high school fucking
It's still
kids,
pretty embarrassing, yeah.
Yeah, why even play? Why even have them on your...
Well, you know, that's why they have those... I mean, when you play softball, they have the, what is it, mercy rule or whatever, 10-0 or whatever. It's over.
Yeah,
right?
Well, 15...
Maybe institute something like that.
Yeah, after a while, though. I mean, I'm the two-point coach. I'm looking across and going,
yeah,
hey, fuck, come on. Take it easy. You're playing against kids that can't score anything.
It's inappropriate.
And he's looking at you looking like, what the hell you want me to do? I can't.
I can see both sides. Yeah, I don't know. That's tough to, you know, because his players want to play and they want to win. And they.
I really blame the damn coach that's only scored 2 points. I mean, if you don't have a team, just call and say, hey, I don't have a team that can play you.
Mm-hmm.
You just take me off the schedule. I just don't belong playing you. So maybe they can do that shit. Maybe they can find a team.
You know, it's hard to imagine, though, that a team is that outclassed.
2 points.
Yeah, that they can't score more than 2 points in a basketball game.
That's... The thrill of victory.
No, that's not
the
it.
The agony of defeat.
That's right. That guy that falls, by the way, guy's name's Vinko Bogatai.
Oh, that skier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he
bashed his head.
No, he didn't suffer any injury at all.
I thought he was brain dead.
He looked horrible. It looked horrible, but he did not injure any. Didn't even break a bone or anything.
What about that? What about that gymnast in that ABC where he runs right into that horse? that gymnast.
Oh, the pommel horse. Yeah,
whatever the fuck.
I thought you said a horse. Like, what,
I don't
think
know
you're thinking the Kentucky Derby. The gymnast.
You know.
Oh, the pommel. Yeah, he may have. Yeah, he may have injured something.
He hit his chest right on that. What's it called?
Tore a pectoral or something. The pommel horse.
It's a fucking horse. I told you it was
but
a horse.
But it's a pommel horse.
Pommel horse. Whatever.
Yeah, I hear horse from the Ocho Man. I immediately think the track.
Yeah, I know because we know Jono.
Oh, we know the Ocho Man.
Yes, we know when he's singing horse, he's singing trifecta. He's not thinking
superfecta, pick threes, pick fours, pick sixes, my friend.
Do you have a sound effect, a whinny or something, a horse?
Down the stretch they come. I love that.
Horse
one.
Pissing on a jockey or something.
Purposely left that one out.
as well.
It gets me in the gate. that's what we got on Georgetown, so...
Wasn't that a big upset though? Didn't Villanova beat Georgetown for the national championship in like 83? It was a big upset. So maybe they have some kind of history of hating Villanova, right? Can you look that up, Chris? I think they upset them, didn't they? National championship.
What is it like the mob here?
Not that these kids would remember it.
Well, they get them back 23 years later.
Well, we hate certain people that we knew in high school, bookies that didn't pay us, you know.
Yeah, I think it was 1985.
There you go.
1985. So they waited all this time.
So they had a hard on him out in Villanova. But
I'm glad they got him back then.
back everything you said?
No, Georgetown got him still.
No, Villanova won the national championship, right? It was a big upset.
Yeah, but Georgetown beat him this time around. Georgetown beats him every fucking time they play.
Yeah, in the 1985.
Villanova.
Yeah, it was a Villanova upset over Georgetown.
Big upset, yeah.
66 to 64.
Not that these kids were even alive back then.
No, they didn't
fucking
care. Well,
but it was the kids, right? It's not the players. There's a difference.
The kids ran out on the court, but I'm telling the old Georgetown people were like, get back in the stand. Don't fucking run out there.
Maybe the alumni were trying to.
They're dumb. They're dumb.
Yeah, they probably just want to grab some Gatorade or something. Oh, you know, come on.
Damn,
these are kids.
You know, you're representing Georgetown basketball. Get your ass back in the stand, you little fucking. They're all.
I remember you when you represented, Rock University?
Rock University.
What was it? Stonehenge? What was that? Where'd you play?
Stonehenge. I don't want to tell you where the fuck I played. You'd beat people.
Well, you got a little excited back then, too.
Yeah, but I played the game. I didn't run out on the fucking field.
Yeah,
like
the women were swooning. They were running out after you. Just an old student body.
Yeah, those were the good old days.
I saw your picture from that. I saw the one you posted. That was great. Boy, you look good.
That was high school days.
That was high school?
Yeah.
Wow, you were big.
Yeah. That was high school. And, man, I tell you, they used to say I look like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, there was a resemblance. After he took that beating, you look just like him. Before they cut his eye and everything.
All right. Fuck you.
You got a Adrian? You have that one?
He'll find it here in a second.
Everything, this guy.
The Washington.
Do you have the Gettysburg Address? Then we don't have to do anything.
That I have.
Really?
The Washington Post came out with kids are getting fat.
Oh, really?
he just throws that in there with me talking about kids getting fat. Kids are getting fat eating pizza. Well, no shit.
I'll agree
Washington
with that.
Yeah. Post.
As a physician, I can agree with that. You did tell the folks that I'm a doctor.
Why don't you say that, too? I'm fucking Mr. Haney.
Yeah,
you're a screenwriter.
Would you like to buy a tractor or a goat?
No, you're a physician, too.
Yes, but it doesn't take a four-year degree to realize that eating pizza probably will put a few pounds on.
Here's what I'm saying, though,
okay, what
man.
Was the thrust of this article?
The thrust of this article is how can you not eat the damn pizza when it's on at 11 p.m. at night and you got a Papa John's commercial with them pulling out a slice of pizza and you're going, oh, fuck, I got to have that. It's fucking addiction. It's addiction.
I don't know. I thought it was,
you
too.
You fucking eat donuts. I've seen you eat donuts.
I know. I'm just talking about Papa John's in particular. Did you see Joe Montana on that commercial?
Yeah.
Boy, he doesn't look good.
Oh, he looked old.
Does he look crisp? Do you see that?
The Joe Montana on that Papa John's?
Yeah, he's rough-looking, man.
How old is that guy? Rough. He can't be 60?
He's got to be 84, 85 well, based on the picture.
He looks terrible.
Yeah, he didn't look good at all.
He's hunched over. His posture's bad.
Yeah.
Looks like he needs a truss and a cane.
Oh, well,
I mean, it's too bad. He's such a good-looking guy and, you know, such a great quarterback.
And you know, the thing about it is, you eat this pizza. I mean, you got it on TV.
But
late
these are
night.
Kids, right? I mean,
yeah,
kids,
I'm talking about society.
We ate Geno's. Remember those little Geno's egg rolls we used to eat at night? That's what I used to eat at night. Remember those?
No.
Oh.
No, those were the ones that burnt my goddamn top of the roof.
Oh, absolutely.
Every
oh, yeah.
Time.
You couldn't talk for 3 days after you ate those things. Oh, they're
pizza
great.
Rolls or egg rolls?
No, the
egg rolls or pizza
they had
rolls?
Both. I think the pizza both. Rolls are the ones
I think
had.
We're talking about the pizza rolls,
yeah.
Right?
Geno's pizza rolls.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they scald you.
I could eat like 100 of those when I was 18. I just six plates full.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have a roof in my mouth.
Oh, you're right. You're just scorched.
Because you'd be like a Homer Simpson and keep eating it while it's burning. Duh!
Yeah,
duh, boy!
The smoke's coming out of your nostrils.
Boy. Yeah.
You look like a dragon.
You just kept eating it.
But they were great.
But in any case.
Okay, so what did the article say?
My point, you prick, is what I'm saying.
I'm agreeing with you.
The 11 p.m. at night, these Papa John commercials pop up, and it's a fucking addiction.
Oh, so it's like subliminal messaging.
Yes, you're constantly.
Well, what, do you want to ban them like cigarette ads?
I say ban the fucking commercial after a certain time of the day to where if we're trying to recover from trying to lose some weight, it's an addiction. It's an addiction, and I want to find a lawyer that'll...
You really think that? That's your...
It's a fucking addiction.
Well, of course it's an addiction. So what?
Okay, but so is heroin addiction.
What about McDonald's or Burger King? You can't advertise them
either? Sue them all.
Well, they will.
Sue them all. I don't want to see any food commercial after a certain time of the day.
Well, so we got to watch Chuck Norris do a Total Body Gym commercials, and is that...
I would really like that. Because
you
then,
would.
Because then I'll just go to sleep and not watch Chuck. But when you're hungry and you put on the TV to maybe just watch something to get your mind feeling good about something out there, and then all of a sudden you see a Papa John, you see a McDonald's commercial, you see something out there that you're going, damn, I'm going to the refrigerator right now.
Wow. Well, we've got some pretty pressing problems in this country. I don't know if that one, what do you want to...
Well, you
send
don't
that to Congress?
You don't see a Papa Jose with his heroin addiction selling me anything on late night on TV. It's addiction, man. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't know how effective it would be to remove the – if you think there's going to be any less obesity in this country, because I don't think it's probably going
to
happen.
They tried to move our Twinkies and our Ho-Hos off the market, so why the fuck can't we move a pizza off the air at 11 o'clock?
Yeah, but that was a labor dispute. That was different. They were going on strike.
What's your call on that, Chris? I mean, come on, babe. Talk to me. Well, you're a skinny guy.
Look at Chris. What would he know about obesity?
I'm all for it. I'm the other way. I need to gain it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, whatever.
Well, wouldn't you agree, though? I mean, and here again, I'm for liberty. If people want to advertise after 11, if people want to be fat, if they want to eat before they sleep, if they want to eat during sleep, during sex, I don't have any problem with it.
Yeah, you know.
Why?
I just can't handle it, I tell you. I'm trying to lose weight, and every time I try to lose weight, I put on more weight. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, I mean, I guess the solution would be don't watch TV before you go to bed.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Well, watch porn or something. That's what everybody else does.
I can't because I got windows all around me.
That's hot.
Yeah, that's hot, but my neighbors can see anything I got on TV. Oh, can't do that either. You can't do anything in the house. I got kids running left and right. But boom, right. I don't have a life anymore. All I got is my sports, and I like the handicap games. Speaking of handicap games,
Did you give your Super Bowl pick yet, or is that
not
yet? It's going to be a big show.
Not yet,
babe. Yeah, I'm sure everybody's waiting for that.
Yeah, boy, we're working on that.
What's
one.
The spread in that game? Have they come out with a spread?
I think they did early. It was 2.5. Seattle was 2.5 when the line started. I haven't seen how
they're favored by 2.5.
Yeah, that was when right after.
Right, they come out as soon as the championship game's
yeah,
over.
Yeah, so and that's one thing too that I've always been captivated. If you have an opportunity to get the line when it first comes out, mm-hmm. that is a true line.
Well, remember, that's why we were going to move to Vegas in 92. Remember, we wanted to get those.
Right.
We thought, boy, we could clean up. We get those early lines.
We get those early lines. That's the way we're going to take this.
We're going to be pro gamblers.
What the hell are we doing right now? We are giving what's left over. We're picking up whatever's left over on right. the odds. And we like to shift it. Sure, we like to shift the odds
sure.
around.
Well,
but
the wise guys get their good; they get the good lines, and
they
get the
early
crap.
Lines. They know like, as soon as that right. line comes out, they're waiting to put that money down right then and there.
Well, and that's every weekend. You know, when some
every weekend
when one bad line comes out, boy, they just jump on it,
and then we get what's left over. And I've brought it up on a show before.
Well, the
like
bookie
that
gets
too.
What's left over because yeah. we end up paying.
Anyway, we don't deal with bookies here.
No, the theoretical bookie.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
illegal.
Yeah, that's illegal. We, my friends out there, if you're going to make a bet, if you're in Mexico or Peru, my Mexican friends out there, you're showing a lot of love for the Ocho Man. Go to Ocho.com to make a wager.
That's legal.
That's legal.
That's encouraged. That's great.
And you know what? Even if you got to make a play, make it with the right people out there.
Sure.
And our show's for
you know, maybe
people
cheated us out of a.
Yeah.
Well, you got to make it with legitimate guys.
Yeah, make it with legitimate people. And this show's
reputable.
For,
reputable people.
Exactly. This show's for entertainment purposes only, you might
can
say.
Can I ask you something else about for entertainment purposes only?
Yeah, but don't get me arrested like you
no,
have
no,
in
no,
the last
no. this,
couple
this,
fucking minutes now.
This is. This is about soccer. Do these guys ever have an off season? I mean, these fuckers are playing year round.
It's called football.
Well, yeah, football. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. They,
when do they not play?
They play all the time, man. And you know, it's,
you got all these leagues and all the. And they,
oh,
it's
beautiful.
The European Cup, and then
and half the
done,
games end in a tie score. It blows my mind.
Well, that's a matter of taste, I guess. But
no,
they never stop playing. Yeah.
I got a problem with the ties bullshit, too. I mean, I'm paying good money to go watch something. I want a winner. But that's how America deals
that's
with
it. But that's a strictly American thing. These Europeans are used
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, but you know what? I just spent $50 to park my fucking car to watch a sporting event with my family. I'm blowing another $250 feeding them. I want a winner that day. I don't care if I win or lose. I want a winner. This tie thing and everyone
really?
Goes home. Yeah, of course. Well, what the hell? America's never made on ties. Everything we've done is we've won. We've won on
no,
everything.
No. We've had the Korean War was a tie.
Who called that?
I did.
So much you know.
Well,
I mean,
it started at the 38th parallel, and that's the way it ended. That's a tie. We didn't win that war.
We
well,
won the fucking war.
It wasn't a war. It was a police action.
There you go. It was a police action.
Well, those,
if it was
well,
a war, we would have won
okay,
that, too.
So a police
did
action can
up?
Be a tie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, as long as you grant me that.
A police action is a tie. We'll sell for a tie.
But if it was a war, there has to be a winner.
Yeah. A war, we win. All right. For our big plays for tonight, Armand Kachigian.
Oh, please.
Yes, I got a
I need some money. Give me some tips.
I got a couple big plays here, my friends, in NBA. I like the Grizzlies tonight over the Raptors, -5.5. That's the one that I'm really going to be focused in on the NBA. Grizzlies, -5.5.
Do they have money lines, too? They have money lines.
We have money lines. It's a 199, and I definitely
Would
think.
You take the money line?
No.
Lay the money line?
No, that's not the money line. That's the over and under.
Oh,
over this. I'm sorry, my friends. And believe it or not, I'm not familiar with the money line on that one. I'm looking at this one on the spread and the over and under, 199. I even think if I'm going to play that, I'm going to play that on the under on this one, 199. Take the under, but my real play here is the Grizzlies, -5.5. I like that one. Mm-hmm. And in NHL action, now we went 2-1 the last couple days now, taking the overs. And I really think on this one, I think we got a winner here. We got the Kings versus the Sharks. I really think both goalies will be set for this one. I really like the defense. There's the old shark call.
John Williams. Yeah,
and
great stuff.
Well, it's not about the fucking movie now.
No, it's about the composer, John Williams.
Yeah, okay.
Great composer.
The over and under on this one is 5. I look at this being a total on the goals is 3. I don't see over 5 on this one, my friends. This is the one I like is the under. Under. I'm seeing an under on
this
one.
Good goaltenders in that game?
Yeah, it'll be a tight game. And I got one more NBA action here. And this wasn't my NBA play. This is what my fans at... have been writing to me, have been emailing me at Ocho Man on Facebook here, and they are high on the Pelicans tonight, -8.5. My fans are leaning towards the Pelicans here, -8.5 against the Lakers. So
the Pelicans?
The Pelicans. The Pelicans.
There's a team called the Pelicans? I didn't even know that.
Tell them there's a team called the Pelicans.
Well, you wouldn't make that up, but where do they play, New Orleans?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
And
it's the Pelican State, Louisiana.
I thought it was a goofy fucking name for a team.
It's Pelican. The Pelican State.
On Scarface, remember?
Look at the Pelicans. Yeah, fly, Pelicans, fly.
Look at the Pelicans.
He was in the bathtub. We got to get a bathtub like that.
Oh, that would be a nice bathtub.
They were swans, though, weren't they? They weren't Pelicans. And he called them Pelicans.
He called everything Pelican that flew.
Did you see him dance?
Yeah. Well, that's a different topic. Anyway, our big show today, our big games today, the Grizzlies -5.5 over the Raptors. Our fans' favorite play is the Pelicans -8.5. And my NHL play of the day is the under on the Kings Sharks game. I tell you what, it's been fun having you, Armand.
Thanks. I'm going to take that NHL bet. That sounds like a good one.
That's a great one.
Come on, Pelicans.
Thank you for being on the show.
This guy's got everything.
Chris, once again, great production, man. You impressed the hell out of Armand, but I see this every time. My friends, tune in and tell them about our show here.
I want to remind everyone to go on the iTunes store. You'd find the Ocho Man Behind the 8-Ball there. You need to leave a review, rating. You can do all that. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for the Ocho Man. And if you want to email the Ocho Man, you can email him at ochoman@ochoman.com.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. My friends, the show isn't possible without you guys. We need you guys out there listening, tuning in, subscribing. This is what it's all about. From Armand, Chris, the Ocho Man, we are out of here.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go. Come on.
You're listening to The Ocho Man, Behind the 8-Ball, only on Ignotainment.